Hey, this is Jitterbug.
And Nerves.
From Talking Ship, and we are proud to announce another episode of Game Lounge.
Come on in.
Welcome, welcome. Come on into the Game Lounge. This is episode number 24. I am the Fisherman.
And I'm still Farva.
And Farva's been making the rounds around the ship, haven't you, brother? You just got back from the flagship show, and now we're back home at the Game Lounge.
It's so much nicer over here. I have a chair that's like, you know, it's been like molded to my ass, and it's just so much more comfortable over here. That flagship shit was just way too stressful.
Yeah, it's pretty high class up there. It's way too high class for guys like us, man.
Well, we had a big like discussion prior to recording on who equals who, i.e., mm-hmm. He's like, okay. He's like, who kind of runs the shit? Because when he's doing the flagship, like, Jitterbug tends to, like, run shit, and he just kind of, like, throws in his two cents. And I'm like, that's totally fucked up, because Fish runs our show, and I just throw in my two cents. So it was basically the two guys that are just there to bullshit were together, and it made for a really – we went off on some fucking tangents. Like, they did get edited out. At one point in time, I think I had, like, a 20-minute rant. He's like, I just had to cut it. It was just way too fucking bizarre. So.
It was funny. It was like it's like watching a basketball game and just having two color commentators.
That's pretty.
And no play-by-play guy.
That's exactly what it was. It was weird.
And it was funny. It was fun to hear it, man. It was a good show. You repped us well on that show, man.
I hope people enjoyed it. I really do.
Yeah. So we're back on the Game Lounge and we're drinking and talking video games. Farver, what have you got over there to imbibe on?
I actually have a Jack and Coke right now. Although, to be fair, this is a very late show. Some shit went down in personal life. We were recording very, very late, like 48 hours late. And then I got off work, and I got off work late, and I had a shitty night at work. So I stopped at the bar on the way to my motel room, which is actually – the bar is like walking distance. It's like 100 feet to my room. And I took three shots of Jaeger, and then I came in here. So I'm already a little bit I don't know how to whistle, but if I could, I'd be like, woohoo, right now.
Nice. I am sort of going through the fridge and making my way through the beer in there because, like you, Farva, I'm in the middle of a pretty major project downstairs of replacing my floors.
That's what I'm doing.
I know. We're both doing it at the exact same time, and it's fucking both of our worlds up pretty bad. But, yeah, so I didn't have time to go out and get anything special for it, so I'm having more of my Red Hook craft beer, like I had a few weeks ago, where it was just the generic craft beer label. This one tastes like a blonde beer, so it's probably one of their lighter ales. And then to chase that up, when I finish this one off, I've got my last Dogfish Head pumpkin ale to close out the October beers. I'm going to send them out in style with a Dogfish Head pumpkin ale.
Very nice.
That's what I'm drinking. So we're going to go right on into the digital desk. All right, this is Digital Desk, and this is where generally I take a day's worth of news stories or go back a few days and find things that I find interesting. We have pushed this show out, the recording of it, so far that I have compiled a fuck ton of Digital Desk stories that have just kind of cropped up and caught my eye over the course of the week.
Indeed.
That we've just not been able to record.
Indeed.
So get ready, because these are some pretty cool things. So the Kinect came out.
It did.
Last week.
Yes. Do you have one
I
yet?
I picked one up.
You do?
Yeah, I picked one up. And then so I picked one up, put it downstairs in my living room, and then proceeded to tear all the flooring up of the other rooms downstairs and put all of my furniture in the living room.
So
you
can't even play.
I've gotten to play Kinect for a couple of hours.
Okay.
Since I bought it last Thursday. So that's been a real treat. But the story isn't really that I've bought Kinect or that the Kinect has come out. The story is that Adafruit Industries, which is a New York-based hardware developer, is offering a $2,000 bounty to anyone who can hack the Microsoft Kinect and produce drivers for it, which if you guys don't know, drivers are basically what you... When you plug something into your USB on your computer, they're what makes it go. They're what makes your computer recognize and understand what the device is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So They're offering a $2,000 bounty to the first person that can hack the Kinect and make it run on a PC.
That's awesome. That's just enough to cover their bail once they fucking do it.
I know, because Microsoft is not too pleased about it. They do not condone the modification of their products with Kinect. This is something from them, from Microsoft. Microsoft built in numerous hardware and software safeguards designed to reduce the chance of product tampering. Microsoft will continue to make advances in these types of safeguards and work closely with law enforcement and product safety groups to keep Kinect tamper resistant.
Dude, that's so stupid. That's like, let's say, okay, you and the fisherwoman. Although, yeah. Technically, now, I don't understand this, because your boyfriend and girlfriend, you're not actually engaged yet you call her the fisherwoman. But anyway, You and the fisherwoman go ahead and get engaged. You get married. I show up at your wedding. Hey, thanks for inviting me. Then I make a big toast, and I'm like, okay, guys, $1,500 to the first person that can rape her. First person that rapes a fisherwoman, $1,500. Any takers? Okay, standing order. Let's just see what happens. I mean, barely enough to cover their bail once all is said and done. It's just, wow.
Yeah, and I would say that I have built in numerous safeguards to prevent the rape of the fisherwoman. I'd offer up an official statement. But I think, here's the thing. They can't stop someone from modifying your Xbox is not an illegal thing.
No.
Thus, modifying your Kinect or getting a driver, producing a driver that can run Kinect on a PC is not an illegal thing either. I think that the Kinect could open up a lot of possibilities for PC. I think the issue is that the Kinect is a device that seems to only work and only work in some circumstances on a console because you have to be basically 6 feet away from it for it to operate.
I thought it was eight.
No, it's six. Okay. It's 6 feet. Okay. I got 6 feet downstairs, and I was well in the clear. I could have probably been 4 feet away from it and made it work.
Okay.
But you have to be some amount of distance away from it that isn't a natural amount of distance away from a PC.
Okay.
I couldn't really imagine what you would use Kinect for outside of a gigantic webcam, maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't on make a PC. Any sense. It's like, are you hacking it just to say you hacked it? That's really the only thing.
Maybe there'd be some really cool revolutionary shit coming up. Maybe it'll be Minority Report, like the actual Minority Report people were talking about. You know, you're moving shit around your desktop with your hands.
Yeah. That's like when I was like 18 and 19, I had my fake ID and I was first hitting the bar scene. It's like I was fucking fat chicks just to put notches in my headboard. You know,
right.
And it's like, really, they weren't quality notches, but I was the only one that knew that. You know, it's like you're doing it just to do it. There's no real reason. You can't take any real pride in it. There's no reason whatsoever. Yeah. It's stupid.
Well, they're not even doing it.
Yeah.
They're offering a bounty to somebody else.
That's what I'm saying. And it's stupid. And to what end? To what purpose?
Well, I mean, if I could do it, I'd do it, and I'd get $2,000 out of it. That would be to that end for me.
And then I would totally cuddle the fisherwoman while you're in jail getting raped by Bubba.
I'll be like, I'm the one that cracked the Kinect. You can't do this to me. good luck to whatever dumbass takes that contract and does that, because they're in for a world of hurt.
Well, didn't we have a story like in one of our first shows where someone was like offering, they had it on Craigslist, like, we can hack the PS3 for like $300, and this is how to do it. You know, we'll do it. Just, you know, bring it to us. And they ended up getting arrested for it. It's like, really? Are you that fucking stupid? You go ahead and take that. It's like, you know you're going to get hammered. Why?
Yeah. Hey, check this out. We're gonna do a live experiment right now, Farva.
Okay.
Because these people never learn. They never, ever learn.
No.
I want you to open up a web browser and go to Craigslist and look for Xbox 360 mod.
Okay.
And see if you can find someone in your area that does it right now on Craigslist. Because I'm sure... I'm guaranteeing that you will find no less than five or six people, and you'll probably find five or six Xboxes for sale that are modified as well. But these people never learn. They're going to get themselves into a whole bunch of shit over this, and they're just never going to learn. They're going to keep advertising their stuff that's going to get them in trouble with companies. And you're going to take on Microsoft?
Okay, here we go. The first three I see. LT firmware modding for Xbox 360s as of November 3rd, October 25th. Xbox 360 repair / mod. October 21st. Xbox 360 hard drive transfer cable. All right, that didn't so much apply.
That's not it.
Yeah, I didn't pre-read these before. I'm just literally reading them right there.
That's all right.
All right, two out of three ain't bad, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, the point is that even when there's stories that get out like that where people get caught because they went on Craigslist, you can still go right the fuck on Craigslist and find these people. And so I think this will happen, and whoever does it will get in trouble, and the people will just keep on doing shit like this. I'll tell you one thing you don't see is someone trying to hack the Move.
No.
You don't hear anything like that.
All right, you did buy the Move, right?
Yeah, I did.
Have you put any extra time into it yet?
No.
I'm also redoing the floors in my house, and yeah. I hired some friends from, you know, to come over and kind of help me with it. And yeah. we hit a point where we had like a 4-hour window just waiting for shit to dry. So we pulled that shit out, and I have two of the wands, the ball wandy thingies.
Okay.
That shit is fucking fun.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm not going to – we did the two, like the combat shit. Between the combat and the frisbee – oh, yeah. My God. We killed
the
2.5 hours.
Pretty fucking amazing.
We killed 2.5 hours just doing that. It was awesome.
Yeah, the frisbee goal is pretty amazing. It's pretty awesome, and I'm sure Nintendo is kicking themselves for not including that with the at least Wii U Sports Resort when they had the Motion Plus add-on. They probably could have pulled it off pretty good there.
Definitely.
But anyways, yeah, so all seems well in the world of motion gaming. The Kinect is a cool thing. It's fun to play with. It's fun as hell to play with. And Dance Central is everything that I was hoping it would be. I just got to get all that shit out of my living room so I can play with it again. All
right. Since you had me going through Craigslist, did you know under the personal section, there's all kind of like opportunities for spontaneous sex in here?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I'm just looking at it. I'm 24. You didn't know that? A cute girl, short and thick build. She does look a little
thick. Yeah.
But she looks like she can take a pounding. All right, I'm turning that off. All right, we're going back to show notes.
This will ruin the show if you leave that on.
All right, back to the show
notes. It'll wreck the whole fucking thing.
What's next?
Okay, so that's it. The next story we want to talk about is, well, it's basically just a myriad of stories about Call of Duty Black Ops. That was the big release this past week.
Was that this week?
Yeah, it was this week, man.
Holy shit. Oh,
oh
my
wait,
God.
You were at a midnight launch for it, weren't you?
I was. I totally... Well, yes, I was. It was awesome.
So we'll be talking about our impressions of that game and the care package.
I swear to God, obviously, I almost choked the shit out of like a 45-year-old black man. He was
wow.
He was like three people in front of me, and I wasn't paying attention.
Uh-huh.
All right, here's what happened. Okay, I'll just get this out of the way.
Okay.
I went to GameStop, because I had that little card thing. I wanted the points. So I'm sitting outside. There's 75 people in line, and I hear someone say, well, I pre-ordered mine, but I've heard there's only like 10 people at Walmart. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm standing outside. I can go stand inside of Walmart. So I drove like, you know, two blocks, went to the Walmart, went inside. There's like 20 people there. So I stood in line at Walmart, didn't notice right around the corner, right as you get to the front, like three guys in front of me, there's a guy with a cart full of shit. We're talking like bologna and fucking hair trimmers and shoes and waffle irons and God knows whatever the fuck he had in there. And he fucking decided to pay for that shit in the back when he bought the game. Now, he knows everyone out there, everyone in fucking line is there for the midnight release. We want to get it, fucking drive straight to our homes and play it. That's all we want to fucking do. This dude took 15 fucking minutes to ring up his shit. Then he was upset because some coupon wasn't going through. I swear to God, I almost took a USB cord right off the rack next to me and choked the shit out of him. I was like, I'm sitting back there. I'm like, really? Really? You're fucking doing this? Really?
That's
we're online.
Great.
And like, there was the guy behind the counter was like, sir, please call, you know, we'll get to you in just a minute. And I'm like, really? No, he's going to do this. He knows there's fucking like 15 people behind me. He knows we're all ready to get the. I was so fucking mad. So
that's
furious.
Great.
He wasted.
He delayed
fucking
a midnight launch because
he
couldn't
a
get
fucking
his fucking
waffle
coupon.
Iron.
His coupon for his Triscuits wouldn't go through.
It's like, fuck you old fucking bastard. I hope whoever you're buying the game for dies in the fucking night. Fuck you.
Oh,
I was
my
so
God.
Mad.
That is hilarious, Farva.
Anyway.
That's really funny. Anyways, so Activision is looking to try and profit from Call of Duty throughout the year, is their quote. And it it seems like what they mean is that they're going to try and call it and turn Call of Duty into like Guitar Hero and come out with three a year or something. I get why Activision is not a big fan of releasing a gigantic game at one time during the year and only profiting from that game at that time of the year.
Yeah.
But you're going to hit a point. I mean, I think there was a point with Guitar Hero where they were like, okay, we're just cranking these things out. We don't really care how good they are because they're still selling. Mm-hmm. They released a Guitar Hero game in the past 2 months, Farber. Did you even realize?
I didn't, actually. No, I had no idea.
Nobody knew.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares anymore.
No.
And nobody bought it. And I think at that point, they were like, oh, fuck. This can happen. Because, and now it sounds like they're sending Call of Duty right down the same path. I am enjoying Black Ops. I liked Modern Warfare 2. But I just don't. I don't see how this series, of all series, can survive this kind of a serialization. I hope that's not what they mean. I hope what they mean is maybe more map packs, maybe an add-on campaign to the game they've already come out with kind of thing, and trying to profit from it throughout the year by adding components onto the game they've already created. But, you know, if they start coming out with more Call of Duty games, if they release more than one Call of Duty game a year, it's going to start tanking.
Yeah.
That's just the way it's going to be.
Well, I know like a couple of weeks ago, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, but a couple of weeks ago we were kind of bagging on G4. G4 mm-hmm. is kind of looking like it's going to go, you know, I don't remember, some provider dropped them, and it looks like they might be going under.
It was DirecTV.
Yeah. But Adam Sessler, like a lot of people are like, you know, oh, you got X-Play, you know, and you got Morgan Wynn, Adam Sessler, and a lot of people are like, you know, fuck that dude. Well, quite frankly, I think he's very insightful. I think she's just a pretty face, and fuck her. But I really like what he has to say, and he has this podcast on the G4 thing where they do a Sessler soapbox. And one of the recent ones he did was this almost oversaturation of sequels, the sequel oversaturation, where in this economy, these companies are trying to produce games that they know are going to make money. But what it's doing, because they're putting one out every year, it's causing this effect where it's like, I don't have a need or a desire for this game because I've just had one. Mm-hmm. And so It's starting to wean, you know, wear people out, and that's exactly what you're saying. And I'm like, I completely agree with you. Like, I am enjoying this. I'm loving the game so far. And if they're willing to release DLC and stuff for it, that's fine. Now, if they try and turn it into, I remember like Activision was talking about trying to turn it into maybe a subscription service. Mm-hmm. Where you got to pay to play the multiplayer, and that's the mm-hmm. whole reason. Like, I still have Modern Warfare 2. And I'm going to hold on to that until I know for sure that this shit, like we talked about trading it in, trying to get the most value for it. I could have got $15 for it, but I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go ahead and hold on to it and just wait in case this shit doesn't pan out.
Right.
So no, I'm completely with you. I completely get that.
Yeah. So, I mean, watch out for more Call of Duty games in the coming year. And probably they'll be employing this in 2012. These Activision business strategies that come about are sometimes just really half-baked and never really see the light of day, so I wouldn't worry too much about this.
But you never know.
I don't know. Yeah. You know what, guys? Just buy the games you want to buy. If it looks good to you, buy it. If it doesn't, then don't. And if they come out with three Call of Duty games a year, and they're all fucking fantastic,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? That's awesome for me, because that's perfect. I will buy all three of them and love all three of them. It's just that doesn't seem like that would happen if this came to be.
No.
The other things about Call of Duty, apparently this is the biggest, the biggest entertainment launch in history of man. Mm-hmm. It eclipsed Modern Warfare 2, which previously held that honor. It actually, and this kind of surprised me, sold about 700,000 more in their first week, and it was like I think they said Modern Warfare 2 sold about 4.7 million units, mm-hmm. and this one sold about 5.4 million units,
which is crazy. Cause it was weird because, like, when I went to the midnight showing, so obviously I was, or the midnight, you know, release of it, So I was obviously playing by 12:30. And I was talking to like Lano and Dave and a couple other guys. And we were talking, and Dave was pointing out, he's like, yeah. He's like, everywhere I saw and everywhere I went, it just didn't seem like, it seemed like Modern Warfare 2 was a much bigger release. Like, the lines were bigger, the crowds were much more hyped. And yet, somehow, I don't know if it's just a wider distribution, but this fact honestly surprises me. That this, now part of it, I think, have you seen the latest commercials they have for, with the ones where it's like, it's got like the regular civilian, like regular everyday people doing that stuff? Did you see like Kobe Bryant's in that?
And Jimmy Kimmel.
And I was like, I watched it like three times like on TV today before I finally noticed it. And I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. And
yeah, I mean, that commercial is pretty badass.
I mean, they are just pumping this game out. And it's, I mean, do you think it's worth it?
Yeah. Well, do I think it's worth it?
Yeah.
What do you mean, do I think it's worth it? Do I think the game itself
is worth your $60?
Yeah, I think the game is worth my $60. I think so.
I am loving this game. I really am.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it in the care package again, our impressions of it. But yeah, I mean, well, yeah. So the one of the things that's so valuable about the game is all this extra shit that they put in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had a chance to really dig around in this game yet, but this is kind of a spoiler alert for the game. Let's say you're the kind of person that really likes the menu interface from the very beginning. You know what I'm talking about, right, Farva? Yep. It's kind of a distinctive thing.
Yeah,
you are essentially you start the game being interrogated, and what the menu interface is you sitting in the interrogation chair looking at a screen where you pick campaign, multiplayer, the zombie mode, or I think like options. There's like four things you pick from there. Well, so spoiler alert, if you love that part, just skip ahead about 5 maybe 10 minutes if Farva gets on a rant here. If you hit the left and right triggers in succession, just back and forth, the guy you're playing as, you can use the right stick to look around in this mode too. Mm-hmm. You can look down at your hands, which are tied to this chair. If you hit the left and right sticks the left and right triggers in succession, you'll pull your arms free of the chair.
No.
Yeah, and you'll stand up and you can walk around the room.
Oh my God! I
want
to quit recording and do this so badly right now.
Oh yeah! Hang on. You got plenty of time for that. You can rip your arms free and walk around the interrogation room and just sort of check out all the shit, and you get an achievement for doing it. So there's easy points for you guys. And there's a computer in the corner that you can go over to, and it works. It just has a console, and it's kind of cumbersome because it comes up and then you have like a keyboard up in the upper right, and you use your stick to navigate around the keyboard. But you type in commands using the keyboard. There's lists of these commands on websites. There's hundreds of them they put in there. It's just shit that they put in this game for fun.
Okay.
There is a command that unlocks a mode called Dead Ops. And that is a top-down shooter, a zombie mode that is a top-down shooter within the game.
Nice.
Yeah. There is also a command that takes you to Zork. Now, if you guys don't remember, and I'm sure a lot of you don't, and I honestly had never played this game before either. Zork was an old DOS-based PC adventure game where you are standing in front of a door, and then you're supposed to type in a command. Open door. And it is the entirety of Zork. The entirety of that game is within Call of Duty Black Ops. There's some mad shit in this game.
That is pretty fun. You know what was funny? Is that that whole entirety is probably like 90 megabytes. Which is something ridiculously tiny. But that is... Yeah. That is fantastic.
That could have been part of the day one patch, you know?
Like, we need
that
could have been... Okay, next story. I want to fucking do this when we're done. Like, fuck going to sleep. I'm going to work tomorrow 16 hours. I ain't sleeping shit. I'm figuring this shit out.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And you also get an achievement for doing for going to Zork. And so just so you guys know, so you don't have to hunt around if you just want the achievements, you do the left and right trigger thing to break yourself free of the chair, and then you go over to the computer. You're going to hold X or square if you're on the PS3 to go to open the computer, and then you get a little keyboard. You type in Zork, Z-O-R-K. And you hit enter, and all of a sudden you're playing Zork, and you've got an achievement, or probably a trophy on the PSN network too.
Nice.
So it's pretty mad. The kind of and this is the reason that I think this game is worth the $60, because it looks like Treyarch has really taken their time and put a whole bunch of crazy shit in this one. I mean, the main complaint is that while the multiplayer functions in the same way that the Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer has functioned, basically, they haven't really built on that formula all that much. They've added a whole bunch of new modes, but they haven't really built on the core formula.
Really? See, I disagree a little bit, but we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. So the next story we want to talk about is Mario's 25th anniversary for the Wii. Now, this is a game that's already out in Japan, and it's selling like fucking hotcakes over there because they love them some Nintendo.
Well, yeah.
This is a box retail release for the Nintendo Wii, and it is coming out on December 12th. And what it includes is basically all the old games. It includes The notable omission from this release, and the reason that it's giving me pause as to whether I really want it or not, is that Super Mario World isn't involved in it
at all.
And what's included is Super Mario Brothers 1, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Bros. 3, all the NES ones, and then the Lost Levels. It's essentially the Super Mario All Stars game that came out for the SNES way back when.
And this is coming out. It's coming out on the Wii. You said right.
It's coming out on the Wii.
Okay.
But basically, the crux of the package, I don't think, is the games. It's got a really cool package. It's got kind of a collector's edition type look and feel. It's got a really cool design to it.
Uh-huh.
Comes with a 32-page commemorative booklet. Comes with let's see, what else does it come with here? A soundtrack CD with and the soundtrack CD has titles all the way up through Galaxy, so it's got all the music from Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
It looks like basically more of a collector's item than a game, and it's gonna be $30 and not $50, so it's already kind of reduced. They detail the collection for America, because it was a little bit different in Japan, but yeah, I mean it's a tough sell to figure that we got all these actual games coming out, Farva.
Yeah,
all these real games that we want to spend our money on and play real games. Maybe now is not the time to release a collector's edition of something that's just more of a commemorative thing than anything else. And maybe Nintendo's just feeling kind of the pressure of not having a big holiday release.
All right, now, so you said this is okay. I was going to ask if this is releasing this holiday. Yeah, it's just stupid. This is the kind of game you release for nostalgia's sake when things are dead and dying, you know? Like in March or, you know, April, when there isn't really anything big hitting. This is when you release that kind of shit and try and cash in on our memories.
Maybe that's indicative of what they think the Wii is doing right now. You know, it doesn't seem like it's flourishing. It doesn't have a gigantic release of some brand new thing for it, like the Kinect or the Move.
No.
I don't know. Maybe this is where they think that the Wii is gonna take its in. And like I said, I still hold true to my thought that they're gonna release news of the next Wii at the next E3.
Yeah, that makes
this
sense.
This seems like the move that you would make before, like directly before you make that announcement.
Yeah, like here's our greatest of and now presenting.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's a cool thing, and it's not like it's going to be some kind of limited edition thing. I think it's the way it's packaged, and if you look at the packaging of it, it looks very limited edition. But I mean, come on, if they can sell this thing, they're going to keep cranking them out and keep selling them.
Yeah.
So that's certainly not the case here. I just think that maybe now is not the time to be pulling this kind of stuff off. Maybe you should have invested a little bit more and try to get a big holiday release for your console. Is it Kirby's Epic Yarn?
I've heard that's fantastic.
It's fantastic too. Is it Donkey Kong Country Returns? Are those the big release of the Wii?
Seriously, we tried that. Fuck that game.
Yeah, but I mean, is that what they really think are the big releases for the Wii? And maybe that's their knee-jerk reaction is to compile all their old stuff and put together some commemorative nostalgia shit and try and crank it out.
I don't know. It seems like a bad idea all the way around.
Yeah. So speaking of Nintendo and Mario, this is fucking awesome, Farva. I don't want any of our listeners to miss out on this. And as soon as this link goes live, I'm going to post it in the forum so everyone can do it. Because there is a fan-made game coming out.
Uh-huh.
And it is free. And you can play it on a computer or if you have a DS that's tweaked a little bit. You could play it on the DS too.
Okay.
Did you ever get into New Super Mario Brothers on either the Wii or the DS? I guess you don't have a DS, so did you ever get onto it on the Wii?
Kind of. My daughter, actually, long story short, Thursdays we can't pick her up, so she goes to a friend's house, and they pick her up from preschool, and mm-hmm. their four-year-old, the dad and stuff, has the New Super Mario Brothers. He likes to play it. He has all the levels unlocked, and she loves going into the levels and going into the houses and playing the matching games and trying to go through the levels and stuff. So she's just getting into it. So I actually just rented it for her over the last couple of days. And she sucks. She's fucking so bad at it. And it's
a hard game, man.
She still fucking sucks, but she's enjoying it. And so I'm okay with that.
And what do you think of it from what you've been like seeing of it?
I think it's a fucking hard ass game. It's way harder than Super Mario 3 that I remember for a 2D fucking Mario game. It's a fucking step up and then some.
Yeah, but I mean, the visual style, I think the 2D platformer is not dead. I think that it takes a certain kind of 2D platformer to really succeed. And I think that certain kind of 2D platformer is a Mario game.
Agreed.
Honestly, I played Shank. I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. We played Donkey Kong Country, and I think we got a bad impression of it, but fuck that game all together anyways.
Well, to be fair, it was more fuck the guy who was demoing it, because he was like, guys, this is not how you play this game.
I wanted to beat that guy to death.
He's like, here, pick one. We fucking picked one. It was the boss fight. And we didn't even know what the controls were. And he's like, oh, really? You guys are the first ones I've seen not be able to beat this. And we're like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, hey, fuck you. Maybe you shouldn't have put the boss fight in the goddamn PAX demo.
Yeah, that was a pretty dick move.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, sorry, we're getting all a little bit heated about this dude. Anyways, and then Kirby Epic Yarn is apparently pretty good. But it seems like Nintendo is on the kick of bringing back the 2D platformer, which I am 100% on board with. The only problem is that they don't have a new Super Mario Bros. 2 out.
No.
Well, guess what? This guy is doing it. And it's not New Super Mario Bros. 2. It's New Super Mario Bros. Number 3. It follows the Super Mario Bros. Number 3 game to a T. It is every level from Mario 3. And it is redesigned, restyled using assets from New Super Mario Bros. And it is a free game that's going to come out. And you can download it and play it on the DS or you can play it on the PC. I don't want anyone to miss out on it because, in my opinion, of the NES, I think of all Mario games of all time, mm-hmm. Mario World is my favorite. NES ones, Mario 3 is my favorite. Absolutely, it's my favorite.
Well, how is this guy not getting hit with copyright infringement?
I just don't think they care. It's a big story, and everybody knows about it, and it sounds like they just don't really care. He's not selling it. That's the thing. Everything that he has on his site, everything that he has on his site, on his YouTube videos says, I'm not doing this. I'm not selling this game. Please don't sell this game. You know, please don't try and turn a profit on this work. This is fan made. This is commemorative of Mario 3. This is just a tribute to that game. That's all it is. And so I think he's covering himself in every single way he possibly can so that he can't possibly be taken legal action against because he's not doing anything to make money off of it. So I think this is something we can just look forward to. The download link is going to come out on Friday, the same day this podcast comes out. And so look to the forums, guys, today or over the weekend. Because like Farva said, this guy, I mean, despite all of his covering of his ass and all this stuff of he's not going to make money off of it, you never know with the legal system. He might get sued. He might have to cut his thing down. So go there. Go to this link that I'm posting in the forums soon if you want to get in on this. I don't know why you wouldn't. Mario 3 is one of the great games. If you never got a chance to play it, you really should. And if you did play it, I'm sure you have fond memories of it. You can play this spruced up, new, stylized version of it. And I honestly, this is one of the best surprises that I had all week because I really want to try this game.
Quick question for you: what was the fastest you ever beat Mario 3 in?
Holy shit, man! I never did a speed run on this fucker. I never tried any of that. Honestly, I can't remember. I never really even tried that, but I know I beat it and played it to conclusion. God, dozens of times it feels like.
He said 8 minutes and 32 seconds.
Well, was that you, Farva? Did you beat it in 8 minutes 32 seconds?
Yeah, yeah. What I do is you beat the first world. You beat the first two worlds just by running through them real quick. You don't pick up anything. You just beat them. Then you use the warp whistles. You can pick up the warp whistles along the way. You use the warp whistles. Get to level 8. You rush through the levels, and that one sky level that moves hella fucking fast. If you beat world 2, you get that cloud thing that allows you to skip a map. And you skip that one, beat the next one, you fly over the next one, you beat it, and then you're pretty much good. Then you just rush through and beat Koopa.
God damn, man. Are you, like, on YouTube or something with this shit? Because there's stuff like that out there.
No, I just fucking did that. Like, I was just trying to see how fast I could beat it one day. Yeah, 8 minutes and 32 seconds was the fastest I ever got through it.
You should try it on this new one and post that shit on YouTube. Become internet famous with that shit, man.
You know what? I guarantee you there's some kid from, like, Korea that's beating it in, like, 4 minutes and, like, 16 seconds. He's like, oh, fucking fat, amazing, fat, lazy American. So fucking slow. Oh.
There's another YouTube video out there of a guy trying to beat Super Mario Brothers, the original, doing a speed run on it.
Uh-huh.
With in the Nintendo World Store in New York City with Miyamoto watching him, and he fails, like, 7 or 8 times in a row.
So fucking...
It's just like...
How nervous would you be, though?
I know. It's such a pressure. The guy that fucking made the game is sitting there watching you.
I mean, like, ideally, like, I wouldn't give a shit, but I'm also not, like, so amped up that I would do a speed run of that shit in the fucking main store with that guy watching me.
He got to 8-4. He got to the last level, and that's when he fucked it all up.
That's,
I don't know.
That's upsetting.
It is, and the video is... A little disturbing. We'll just put it that way. We're going to round out the Nintendo news here. Nintendo has a new trademark. Okay, so Farva, when you're about to do something and you're trying to get yourself pumped up for it, you're trying to get someone else pumped up for it, and you say it's on like something. What do you say?
Asian porn.
That's not what they trademarked.
Nothing fucking pumps me up more than it's on like Asian porn.
Okay, you were the wrong guy to ask this question, and I realize that now. But really, what do you say?
It's on like Donkey Kong. Yeah, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Nintendo has trademarked the phrase, it's on like Donkey Kong. They have trademarked it. It is their phrase now, which I guess makes sense. It probably should have been their phrase all along.
Yeah.
But I just think it's hilarious that Nintendo has actually trademarked the phrase "it's on like Donkey Kong" because I'm sure the first person that said that was just some jackass, dumbass kid that said that in an arcade, and everyone started talking about it. I mean, it makes sense that it's said now. I wonder if the King of Kong is going to get in trouble now for their use of it. I guess probably not, but I just thought it was kind of funny and kind of a fun thing to mention that Nintendo's trademark.
Yeah, we need to trade the shit out. Like, it's on like Pokemon or something. We gotta switch this shit out. Fuck it. They cannot get another dime off this bullshit.
Jump over to GoDaddy and start registering domain names like there's no fucking tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the last little bit of news we want to talk about is that Scott Pilgrim versus the World, a game that I played all the way through and had basically forgotten about, is getting DLC.
Excellent.
It is getting DLC to go along with the DVD release of the movie. And the DLC is going to be $2. So that makes it pretty easy
to pick
up. Easy DLC to pick up.
Yeah.
Also, if you get it fast, I'm not sure how long this is going on, but if you get it probably in the next couple of days, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World on the Xbox 360 is $5. It's 400 points. It's on sale. So that kind of works too. But the $2 DLC that I want to talk about, you're getting a playable character named Knives Chow from the movie and from the comic book. And then there's a couple new modes in it, Battle Royale and Dodgeball, which seem kind of fun.
Yeah, interesting.
But Farva, the overriding problem with this game, which is the problem that has been since the launch, which is what made this game not nearly as interesting to me. They still don't have online co-op.
That is a shame.
It's inexplicable. I don't understand how you don't have online co-op in a game like this.
Yeah, that's inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, it. If this game had online co-op...
It's inexplainable.
Wow.
Explainable.
Something-able. If this game had online co-op, it would be one of the better DLC releases, I think, of all time. The only thing that I really didn't like about this game is that I was playing it on my own the whole time.
Yeah, that's unentertainable.
Holy shit. I mean, what do you think, Farva? Did you pick up Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game?
I do. I have it on I bought it for the PS3 because that was what the better deal was at the time. It also came out a little earlier. Yeah. For 400 points, I'll probably pick it up on the 360 just to get... Because I'd rather play games on the 360, to be honest. It's just the controller that fits better in my hand.
But you haven't gotten what you wanted out of this game yet?
No. The thing is to be honest with you, I've only played about an hour and a half of this game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't beat it yet, so...
It's one of those, for five bucks,
it's like, you know what? I'll skip the Big Mac and go ahead and have another console to play it on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then that makes sense. I really, really wish they had online co-op. They could have charged me $15 or maybe $20 for this game. They had online co-op in it.
I think that's just an incredible
mistake.
Especially considering the type of game it is. It's a basic, two-dimension brawler, kind of like the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game in that vein. And so how hard would it be to have them control? Yeah, it makes no sense not to have online co-op.
And it's a video gamer's game. Yeah. This is the game that gamers will want to play with other gamers.
Yeah, you have to think they're gonna have to fix that. You've got to think that people are arguing for that.
Yeah, I mean, for all the things that it brings to the table, it's a fun game. It's got incredible music. It just that one piece really sets it back. And you know, this DLC is $2, and that's great. And it's gonna have a dodgeball mode. How much fun would fucking dodgeball be over Xbox Live?
That would be fantastic.
Within the Scott Pilgrim
universe.
Mechanic.
Yeah.
Right? Well, using those mechanics.
We are Sex Bomb Mom. We are here to watch Scott Pilgrim kick your teeth in.
Yeah. I just wish it had online support.
Yeah, that's...
But apparently that's impossible for them to do.
That's legitimately upsetting. Like, you've now given me a fact that like literally has upset me. Thank you for ruining my evening.
Well, okay, so let's roll it back about 20 minutes and remember what I told you to do with Call of Duty.
Yes.
So now you feel better.
All right, I'm not going to lie. I said yes. I don't know. Right? I don't remember what you told me. I'm really drunk by now.
Well, you're editing, so you can hear it when you're editing.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so that's going to do it for Digital Desk. We're going to roll it on to the game bank. All right, this is the Game Bang, and Farva, I have a Game Bang for us this week. Do you have anything for us this week?
Yes and no.
Okay.
All right, do you have someone professionally doing the floors at your place, or are you doing it yourself?
We're basically ramshackling some friends together and doing it ourselves.
Okay, yeah. So I've been doing it myself, so my time has been very, very limited. So the very little limited time I have has, excuse me, been spent playing the new Call of Duty, Black Ops. Mm-hmm. So since that's going to be our care package, it was also my game bang, so I will hand it off to you.
Fine. We will defer. I have been obviously pouring a lot of time into Black Ops.
Did you just bring
up
Darfur? What the fuck does genocide have to do with video games, you asshole?
Wow. Where did that come from?
You just said, like, fucking, you know, okay, well, defer. I'm like, that's fucking bullshit.
Oh, okay. That's fucking bullshit. That place is fucking bullshit. Just in general.
I know. Now I'm all upset.
You can't even mention it.
Now I'm thinking about, like, kids missing legs and shit. It's like, way to fuck up my night.
That's what I was doing, right?
Fair enough.
That was the whole point of what I was saying. Anyways, I've been playing Call of Duty Black Ops a lot too, but also I've been putting a game has been stealing time from Call of Duty Black Ops.
No.
And I feel like it really shouldn't be, but it definitely is. I've been putting a lot of time into NBA 2K11. We talked about this a while back when this game first released, about I think we were talking more about the opening and about the Jordan stuff that's entered into it.
Yeah.
And it may have been more about NBA Elite than anything else, because, by the way, guys, NBA Elite has officially been canceled. I didn't really think that was big enough news story. I think that was pretty much assumed when it got delayed. You don't delay a yearly video game sports game.
Now, you gotta imagine someone's head's on the fucking chopping block for that shit.
Well, they already pulled it. They already pulled that series and put it with another developer.
Oh, I know, but just not only pulling the series, but I mean, that is fucking bad. When you have this
here,
we're developing this game and we're bringing this other little side game with it. You know, what's going to NBA Jam is coming with it because our game's going to be so fucking badass. This side game is going to really push it over the top, and then NBA Jam is the only thing that comes to fruition because you fuck up so badly. It's like, wow, somebody has literally just lost their livelihood. It's like, I hope you like working a toll booth, fucker.
It got to fucking production. They were making discs.
That's it.
And someone was like, whoa, fuck, no. No.
Has anyone played this shit? Anyone? No?
The demo came out and everybody went fucking bananas because it was horrible. So that's off the market. So your only real option this year for a simulation basketball game is NBA 2K11. But luckily, it's phenomenal. I haven't played a simulation basketball game, since probably before I last played NBA Jam. Like the last retail release of NBA Jam for the Sega Genesis.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it's a little bit of me coming into it with rose-colored glasses and looking at it because I haven't played it in so long. I'm like, wow, look at all this shit you can do now. But it is a solid and tight game, and it is taking away from basically every other game that I'm playing. Fallout New Vegas getting pushed aside. Dead Rising 2 is getting pushed aside. Call of Duty Black Ops getting pushed aside. I've not even started playing Fable yet. Kinect, there's another reason for that. But even if I had the room and the capability to play the Kinect, it would be taken away from that too. Because this game is really, really, really good. The presentation's incredible. It's got Kevin Harlan announcing, which I just love Kevin Harlan, the announcer. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
He always sounds like he's shouting, which is just fun for me.
I mean, he makes the most mundane shit sound exciting.
Oh, yeah. He's like, Eddie gets a foul. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he did, Kevin. Thanks for making that sound like it was the most incredible thing in the world. He's one of the announcers. And their presentation of it is so NBA on TNT-like that if you were listening to it, obviously if you're looking at it, it's a fucking video game. If you were listening to it, it would sound like you're watching a game on TV.
Yeah.
The My Player mode is fun. It is very fun. You play as one player. And every sports game seems to do this now, but this one does it pretty well too. I think the point is, if you are curious about basketball games, if maybe you used to play basketball games or you're into sports games in general, this one's worth a look. And there's going to be sales on it during Black Friday. I've already seen some ads come out where it's like $35. There's the, and it's definitely worth that because I feel like I've already gotten my $60 worth out of it, and I'm not even close to being done playing it. But that's what I've been game banging, man. I've been game banging that, and then Call of Duty.
Nice.
Yeah. So with that in mind, we're going to go into game bang part two for this episode, also known as the care package. Okay, this is the care package and Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yep, let's talk about it.
Yep, that's it. I mean, it's not one of the typical care package segments where Farva has rented a brand new game that no one has ever heard of and is a total pile of garbage that you should stay away from, where you're running around in a mech suit and blowing other mechs up, and it's like, hey, this is an okay game, I guess, if you're into this kind of game, but if you're not into this kind of game, it's an okay game. No, this is Call of Duty Black Ops. It's the big release of the week. This is the one that everybody on your friends list is playing. So let's talk about it, man. How far have you gotten? Have you tried any of the campaign yet?
No, I have not.
You got into it and you jumped right into multiplayer.
I did. I've played the multiplayer and I've played the zombie mode. And that,
okay.
I had a buddy come over, when one of the guys that was helping me kind of work on my floors. He played for about 40 minutes. He played the campaign. He said it was awesome. He really enjoyed it. And from what I was watching, like, I was kind of cooking dinner so I could kind of see what he was doing a little bit. And from what I saw, I'm like, man, I can't wait till I get to just, you know, do that. But no single player for me so far.
Yeah, it's pretty good so far. I've gotten through, I think, mission 3 or 4. It departs from the Call of Duty formula of taking you through a bunch of people's stories. It takes you through one person's story, but it does so in a way that's a lot like the other Call of Duty games, because this guy is a Black Ops operative. He doesn't have a singular story arc. He has multiple story arcs that he goes through himself for his different missions that he goes on.
Uh-huh.
You start off in Cuba, then you end up in Russia, then you have another mission in Russia, then you go on to Vietnam. It's as if they went to the old formula of Call of Duty where you're going with Sergeant Jackson and Lieutenant Price, and you're going to these different places, but you're doing it just one guy.
Yeah.
So people have been saying it's a huge departure from the usual storyline. It's really not.
Yeah, it's more of an homage to the original storylines.
Yeah, exactly. It's one dude doing all the storylines, basically. And it's fun. It's fun, and the way it's presented to you is an interesting way. It shakes up some things, shakes up the formula, certainly. And from what I have read, I haven't read any spoilers or anything like that in terms of storyline, but apparently the conclusion is pretty satisfying, if not the game being about 6 hours long to get through.
Nice.
But that's what Call of Duty is, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're fairly short campaign.
It's never been about the length of the campaign.
No, if you still have your heart, your the actual case for Modern Warfare 2, look on the back of it. It talks all about it being the sequel to the greatest multiplayer match game of all time and this and that.
Yeah.
Nowhere in there does it talk about the story or the single-player campaign or anything like that at all. The big sell for Call of Duty is the multiplayer. I mean,
so let's talk about that next, because I feel like the game is worth $60, not on the strength of its single-player, not on the strength of its zombie mode, and honestly not entirely on the strength of its multiplayer. I think it's worth that money on the strength of its entire package.
I like the multiplayer. I really do. It doesn't, yeah. Like, the graphics don't seem to be as crisp as Modern Warfare 2 and Modern Warfare were, but the game itself seems to run smoother. Like, I don't know how many times, like, I'd be running and, like, I'd kind of bump into a doorway and, like, the collision detection would just, like, stop me dead, you know, and you'd have to make sure, like, you're going right through, you're looking at the window, you got to go right through the center of the window to kind of hop through it. In this one, it seems like there's a little more leeway. It's like you hit the door and it kind of, like, just shuffles you over, like, if you're running through it, you just kind of bumped your shoulder into it kind of thing. The game just seems to run smoother. I heard someone talk, I was talking to someone earlier about it, and they were saying how they felt that the game wasn't improved upon at all. Like, the multiplayer was still the multiplayer. I think the multiplayer has been vastly improved upon in the form of the purchasing system that they've.
Well, hang on one second, because the argument that you made about the smoothness of the game is something I actually wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it's noticeably not as pretty as Modern Warfare 2. Yeah, that's noticeable. I can see that the textures aren't as sharp, but what Treyarch seems to have focused on here is giving you a solid 30 frames per second no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think that in multiplayer is so much more valuable than pretty graphics. I think giving you a smooth frame rate and giving you and not having you glitch your way into getting stuck in a wall, or even just glitch your way across a map, you know, skip a step or something like that to try just so you can make each frozen screenshot look pretty.
Uh-huh.
I'll take that as a sacrifice. I will. I'll take the sharp edge on a brick of a building. I'll take that and throw it out the window if I can keep my 30 frames per second.
Yeah.
That's perfect for me. I don't really care.
Yeah, like one thing I still run into with playing Modern Warfare 2 is just one of those. It's almost like it gets a little laggy when games get too exciting. It's like you start putting rounds in someone. Next thing you know, it's like, whoa, shit! They weren't where I was aiming, but they were when I pulled the trigger. But now they're 2 feet to the right. Now they've seen me and they fucking pop up and kill me.
Yeah,
I have not run into that once in this. If my sight's on someone and I'm pulling the trigger, they're getting hit, and vice versa. Yeah. If I miss, I'm a dead man, and I really like that.
Yeah, I ran into it once because I was playing with Mutton Chop.
Ah,
well, that's because he's in fucking Australia.
Yeah, that's because he's in the underworld, and that's what happens.
Right. But yeah, so I really like that they focused on keeping the game smooth, and maybe not, the game's pretty, it is, but maybe not as pretty as Modern Warfare 2 was, and maybe not as pretty as you expect a game that comes out a year later than Modern Warfare 2.
To be, yeah.
But they kept it smooth, and they didn't disrupt the experience to give you pretty graphics, which is a trade-off that I'm willing to make.
Agreed. So, purchasing system. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right. Real quick. Let me explain. For those people who don't understand, in the original, in the earlier Modern Warfare 2, and even World at War, they had, as you level up, as you complete missions, you gain experience, you make kills, points, you score points. Those points add up. You level up. As you level up, you unlock weapons, perks, grenades, things like that. You unlock new abilities to add to your guy. In this game, you have the same thing. As you level up, as you gain points, you level up, you unlock new weapons and things like that. Except, as you level up, you're getting a monetary amount for your points go towards unlocking the ability to purchase said perks or said weapons. So you have a given. It's not like, okay, you've reached level 5. Now, this weapon and these 3 perks become available to you. It's, mm-hmm. okay, you've reached level 5. This weapon and these 3 perks become available for you to purchase. You only have 2,000 points. What are you going to buy? Each one, the 3 perks are 1,000 apiece and the weapon is 2,000. What are you going to pick? And it makes things, I started with the M16. It was one of the basic classes. I did fairly well with it. So when I started playing, I purchased the M16, and I got the M16 when I was first able to set my own character. I bought an ACOG scope for it. I bought a red dot, and I bought a silencer. Because I'm like, okay, these are going to be awesome. Then I started playing with it and realized I fucking hate the M16.
Yeah.
So the next rifle that unlocked, the next automatic weapon, I forget the AUG-Hauer or whatever it is.
But hang on a second, bro. What level were you when you purchased the ACOG sight and all the different attachments for the M16?
4, I think.
And that's kind of the point of the purchasing system, right? Because you didn't get those attachments until you were about level 25.
Yeah.
In Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, you would have to get so many kills, and then you'd have the M16, and if you got 25 kills, then it unlocked the red dot. You get another 25 kills, and you get the silencer, and so on and so forth.
You had to play it for hours upon hours upon hours to unlock those
things.
With this,
I had whatever amount of money I had, I could go down and pick. If I wanted to, I could have picked the ACOG scope and skipped over the red dot, the silencer, if I wanted to add a flamethrower to it. you know, that's on the list. I mean, it's just, it's what I'm willing to purchase, and that is a kind of a cool system. One thing it does, though, is I've invested money in the M16, and I fucking hate that rifle, and so I moved to the next rifle, so it almost makes you, like, okay, you're saving up your money, and you're using it for, once you start using your money, it's like, okay, I've unlocked a new weapon, I really like this weapon, oh, damn, because I bought the silencer and the ACOG and the red dot, I now can't afford the shotgun attachment that I want on this new rifle. Or whatever it is I want to add. So it adds a little more complexity to your decision making when it, in between matches. And I really like that.
Yeah. It gives you the option of unlocking things at your own pace. It unlocks things for you. You cannot purchase certain things until you've hit a certain level. They're not even available to purchase.
Yeah.
But once, but those things unlock at a much lower level than they did in the past. Because the risk reward there is that you're spending the in-game currency, the COD points, I think they're called, on these things. I 100% agree with you. I think it's a really interesting system. I think the issue that you're going to run into is that come level 15, you will have spec'd out your character exactly as you want him, and you will not have anything else to unlock.
Yeah.
I think that's the only concern here, is that you will have unlocked everything that you wanted to unlock at a much lower level than you did before, and you don't really have anything to look forward to unlocking as you get higher.
That's a possibility, but the thing is as you continue to level up, more weapons become available, and you will have currency, so you're going to say, you know what? I want to try that rifle, or I want to try that handgun.
Yeah.
And so you I don't think that – well, I think you may – like in Modern Warfare 2, I like the M16, especially because I play hardcore mode, so I don't waste all my ammo. I like the M16 a lot, so I use that, and that's one of the first weapons you have available to you. In original Modern Warfare, I love the AK-47. That's like the second rifle available to you, but I used it all the fucking time. Now, you know, so it's that still is there, but when I would unlock the G3 or something else – I would still give it a shot. I would still try it just to try it. I think that's – I think you may have one set class that you're like, this is my go-to class, and then your other 5 or 10 or after you prestige, you can unlock the other ones, you know, the other up to 10 classes. I think those are going to become more, oh, I want to try this or I want to try that. So I don't think it's going to – I don't think it's going to hinder the game at all.
Yeah. I mean, there's always stuff to look forward to unlocking. I think it won't be as fuck yes as it was in the past when you unlock the M16, you know?
Yeah.
There are certain things you unlocked around level 30 or 35 or 40 in Modern Warfare 2 that you were just like, fuck yes, unlocked that.
Yeah.
I don't think that will really happen this time around, because you will have a pretty damn good weapon at that time that you have spec'd out exactly as you like it. So maybe that will be a little bit lost, but you will still have things to look forward to. So that's the leveling and the purchasing perk system of Modern War, or of this new Call of Duty game. Farva, what do you think about the actual multiplayer gameplay aspect?
I like it. I think it works well. One thing that we kind of run into in Modern Warfare 2. With certain levels, it paid to be the Spetsnaz or whatever, because those colors seem to blend into the environment really well. Where in this one, it's like in the snow maps, both teams are kind of dressed in white. You know, you don't have one that's predominantly darker than the other and therefore stands out more. So there's little things like that. There are little tweaks they've made that I really think pay off in the multiplayer and in the gameplay itself. I think the controls are smooth. I think it's incredibly responsive. I am enjoying playing it.
Yeah, I'm liking the levels too.
Oh yeah,
there's interesting levels. And Treyarch, you know, for all the shit that people have sort of thrown Treyarch under the bus for, they're kind of a buzzword of shitty Call of Duty, because they're always up against Infinity Ward, always knocks out of the park.
Well, what was the one that they did that really sucked? Was it 3, 2, or 3?
3.
3, yeah. They did 3, but a lot of people were like, oh, that fucking sucked. And it did. In fact, when I first bought the Wii, that was the latest version to come out, so I bought that on the Wii. Oh. And it was shit. It was the shittiest game. I was so ashamed to have purchased that. But I found out after the fact that they only had like 6 or 8 months to do that game. Like, they weren't planning on doing it. It was one of these things that was kind of thrown upon them. Here, develop this game. This is what we want. Do it now. And they threw it
together.
That's
how it's happened with them.
And considering how short a time span they had, they did. I mean, it was a shitty game, but they only had a shitty amount of time to produce a shitty game. When they did World at War, World at War was a solid game. The biggest break that it had was it was set in World War II, because that was just how they decided to go with the story. And so the weapons weren't as good as they could have been, but there were still some great innovations. And the other thing was glitching under some of the maps. And, you know, moving in, but the zombie mode that they did, the releasing the dogs. I mean, a lot of the little things they did were just like, wow. And you can, I mean, as a player, like with the chopper in Modern Warfare, that would just mow everybody down. In this one, the dogs would come at you. Well, you could knife the dogs, you could shoot the dogs, and you could theoretically, you know, nullify the dogs if you were good enough. You know?
Yeah, you got nothing against a helicopter.
Exactly.
I mean, unless you got a RPG, you got nothing against a helicopter.
And even that would shoot you down half the time while you're trying to take aim.
And if you're good enough, you can take out the dogs, or in this game's case, the dogs or the RC car.
Exactly, and because of that, so I really think they've really taken even with you look at World at War, they really took some very innovative steps, and now they've had another 2 years to develop this game, and it's really showing to be an excellent game. And a lot of people, fucking Treyarch. Well, I think it's one of those deals where it's like, you know. Mandy, whatever her name is, you know, there's fucking Mandy from middle school. Remember when she was fat and had braces and fucking acne and shit? Well, now Mandy fucking, you know, hit puberty. She grew up, her boobs grew out. She lost that tummy, and she's fucking money. You know, it's like, give her time. She's developed. She's learned. She's, you know, she gives the best hand job in town. Don't fucking knock it. You know, I really think Treyarch is really bringing right now, especially with Infinity Ward no longer existing. They are definitely, like, I don't remember the name of the other company that's going to be taking it over next year.
Sledgehammer.
There you go. But, I mean, Treyarch right now is really pushing a bar for these guys to have to reach. I mean, and so I am all for supporting Treyarch and what they're doing.
Treyarch's the lead developer for Call of Duty. And I think the point is that the way you could knock Treyarch Call of Duty games, you could never, ever, ever really knock their multiplayer map design. I think these are some of the, and I'm not talking about graphics here. We already covered that. They have sacrificed some textures to make the frame rate smooth. I'm talking about the actual layout and the gameplay design of the maps. They are huge. There are tons of little avenues for you to explore. They are extensively vertical. Which is a breath of fresh air for me, because let's just face it, Farva, I'm not the best Call of Duty player.
Nor am I.
Right? I think everybody who's played with me realizes that I'm in the middle to bottom of the leaderboard on an average day, and middle to top of the leaderboard on a good day. But the great thing about having options in a multiplayer map when you're not great at these games is that, hey, I'm realizing that I'm staying on the ground a lot. What if I go up top? And even if that doesn't work for me, at least something new for me to try, and something kind of fun and interesting for me to try, is to get vertical on these maps. And there's tons of options like that for me.
Yeah.
The map that sticks out the most to me, well, there's two maps that stick out the most to me in this game, are Jungle and Nuketown. Did you play any of those two maps?
I don't think I played either of those.
Okay, so Jungle is exactly what it sounds like. It's a huge, huge map for big team battles. And what's cool about it is that while there's all these avenues to explore, there is a broken bridge in the middle that is sort of the defining characteristic of this map, that you never cross that bridge, because at any one time, there are 7 or 8 people sighted on that bridge. And it might be a game of chicken if you try to cross that bridge to try and see if you can get all the way to the other end of it. It's just kind of a fun map. Nuketown is, at least the onset of this game and before I really play a ton of hours of multiplayer of it and really understand the intricacies of the map, Nuketown is my favorite map so far. Nuketown is if you saw Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
I did.
Did you see that?
Sadly, yes.
Nuketown is the nuclear test site. It is the neighborhood that they have constructed out of nowhere, out of the middle of a desert, and put mannequins in.
That's creepy and awesome.
And it is a neighborhood that you run around and play multiplayer games in. It's a smaller map. It's I only played it in wager matches, which we'll talk about next. I only played it in wager matches, but it's just a fun, kind of weird, kooky little map. And then the I don't know what it's called, but there's a training room map where there are silhouettes of targets moving back and forth like a shooting range.
Uh-huh.
Where it kind of fucks you up, man. I don't know if you played that one either.
No.
But they move back and forth like the targets move back and forth, and so you'll see movement out of the corner of your eye. You'll turn around, shoot it, and it's just a target, and then you get shot from the other side.
That's got to be cool. I want to try
that. It's a pretty cool map. But anyways, those are the maps that the point is that while Treyarch hasn't had the best track record in terms of overall development of their games, you know, Call of Duty 3 was really panned, and there was a reason why it was a piece of shit. World at War was a good game, but tough to sell, sandwiched in between two Modern Warfares.
Yeah.
This one seems to be the best of the three, and they seem to have gotten it right here. It's certainly worth your money. The next thing I want to talk about is the wager matches. Did you do just straight like domination and deathmatch?
Yeah, team deathmatch. Team deathmatch, domination, and uh-huh. I think that's all I did. I mean, I've only actually put maybe 2.5 hours into it. Maybe four hours into it total.
Okay, there's a mode in there called wager match.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a multiplayer mode.
I looked at it. I just never played it.
Yeah, and what that consists of are little games that they have developed, little variants, and it almost works in the same way that if you're playing a PC first-person shooter, that a user-developed mod would work. In fact, one of the wager matches, Gun Game, is actually a Team Fortress 2 mod that they picked up and sort of modified and turned into this game. So the wager matches are smaller multiplayer matches, like one in the chamber, which is one that I played pretty extensively.
Yeah.
And that is one where you are set up with a pistol and one bullet, and you have one-shot kills, and you get a bullet every time you kill somebody. So, you start with one. If you kill somebody with your one bullet, then great, you got another bullet. If you don't, then you got your knife. And you got three lives. And so the last person standing wins. And that's basically it.
That's pretty creative, yeah.
It's pretty cool. And so they've taken the mod community, and there's one called Sticks and Stones where you're just using very primitive weapons. There's one called Gun Game, which is one that I talked about earlier, where you progress through every one of the game's weapons, and the person that wins is the one who has killed somebody with every single weapon in the game, which is kind of a
yeah,
crazy scenario.
But a lot of fun, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't played any of the high stakes wagers or anything. I don't even know how to get into those things. But I played some pretty low stakes wager games with some friends, and it was just fun. It's a way to earn the COD points that you want to unlock things. You know, it's a faster way to earn that money, that currency. Well, if you've unlocked it, but you can't purchase it yet.
Did you look at any of the contracts?
Yeah.
Because that's a kind of a cool thing.
Kind of a
what
cool
they
thing
did
too.
Was they've done contracts where for like 50, you know, COD points or was this a currency, whatever, 50 currency, you wager and say, and then, you know, it's got a bunch of contracts. So one of the contracts might be using this rifle, get 10 headshots and 40 in-game minutes. And if you get it, yeah, you get, you know, 150, you know, COD points or, you know, 1,000, whatever it is. I mean, the harder, you know, the challenge, the more points you're going to get. And
right,
it's kind of a cool way to go about doing it. And it's 40 in-game minutes. And it has a timer that will literally count down as you're going. And we had a couple guys that were playing with that. And it was funny watching them like, no, I need one more. Come here. Find some. And it was just, as their timer's counting down, it was a lot of fun. And I haven't done any of those yet, but just hearing other guys doing it and like hearing them in my in the party. And that's another thing. I really like the fact that they've brought back the party system in Team Deathmatch.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's ridiculous.
It's great.
It's one of the because it's one of the gameplays I play the most, and nothing's worse than hearing, you know, racial slurs, right off the bat. I mean, right off the bat. I haven't been on more than 4 minutes, and I'm hearing, you know, nigger this, or, you know, you're a Jew, and I'm like, okay, really, guys? We can't grow up a little bit? You know, it's the middle of the night for most people, so we know you're all adults. You all went out and waited for this. Really? Yeah. And to just to deal with
that's
that,
crazy.
To be able to tune that out and be like, you know what? I got five friends. We're all in a team together. These are the only guys I want to talk to. Let's just do it this way. It was a huge, like, I'm so glad they allowed that. I understand the whole, you know, oh, well, this guy killed me over here, and you're giving warnings and this and that. But in a team deathmatch game, who really gives a crap? You're not a professional competition. Yeah. Just let it go. You know, I'm glad they let that be.
Have you noticed the integration with the party system? That it actually shows the interface of Call of Duty now. When you're in a lobby waiting to get into a match, it shows you, as opposed to when you were in a party before, you could only see who was talking if you went to the party in the little quick menu itself.
Yeah.
Now... Treyarch has implemented it in the lobby system where you can see that you are grouped up with these, say, three people. And when somebody talks, it shows a little speech bubble over that next to their name. So you can actually see who's talking. I mean, it's a little thing.
Yeah.
These little things.
That makes a difference. Cause when I was playing with, I played with Dave from and Lano from Sarcastic Gamer, a guy named Dave too, seriously. I think he was from another prop. Some guy named Offspray, something like some other guys that
Philosopher, yeah.
Yeah, Philosopher, yeah. And I never played with Dave too seriously or Offspray, you know, Phil before. And so I didn't know their voices. So to see, you know, their names popping up, well, instead of having to go and hold and be sitting in the party and looking at the party to see who's talking, it was just it was a nice little. It's the little things that matter.
It's not a big deal.
I know I sound like my wife or a girlfriend where it's like, you know, it's the little things that matter. You know, it just shows you care. But Treyarch really has shown that they do care. And they're producing fun gameplay, you know, a good solid frame rate, a good solid game, multiple game modes. Obviously, I mean, I guarantee you they went through and found a bunch of mods like you were saying. We're like, people like to play this, so let's put this in our game. Yeah. I am. This game is worth the $60. You need to go out, spend the 60 plus tax. You shouldn't regret it. Nerves, you should even buy this game.
Oh, I don't know about that. See, that's the thing that gets me about this game is that while it is a great Call of Duty shooter, it is a fucking fantastic Call of Duty shooter. That is what it is. If you aren't into that kind of game, you will not enjoy this game. Nerves, I'm telling you, you won't enjoy it.
You'll love it, dude. It's amazing.
I would love to play with you because it is vastly entertaining to everybody. But if you're asking me for my honest answer,
this game will make you take up religion. It is that good.
See, that's the thing, though, Farba, is that yeah, they added all this stuff. They added COD points. They added all these modes. They added all this stuff into it. Into the actual gameplay of the multiplayer, they added diving.
Yeah, which is
and
cool.
That's about it.
I don't know. I think that's a cool
right?
thing. That's in the actual gameplay itself, but it's one of these things. Why? I mean, when they originally debuted Modern Warfare, they developed a control scheme that everyone was like, this is the control scheme that worked. And I remember some other games kind of came out and they were trying to like change it up a little bit, and people were like, why? Just copy what works.
I agree.
So they've taken what's basically been perfected and as the standard, and this is what works for this game style. And they're just bringing it to you. Now they're adding their own maps, and like you said, they're adding a little bits like the ability to dive. It's where you sprint and hold the B button. You can be running at someone, and you see them. You hold the B button. You dive, and you can dive onto the ground and be firing at them at the same time. And it does make you harder to hit. And it really is. It's a cool little wow. That's neat. I don't think they need to reinvent the wheel. I don't think they need to come out and completely give me something that's like, holy shit, I've never seen that before. I think what they're doing, they took something that works solid, and they said, okay, we're going to take this, we're going to tweak it a little bit. Can we add anything? We'll add a diving mechanic. That's great. But we have all this other shit. That shit works. Let's concentrate on the shit that didn't work in our last game. And that's why I think this game is a phenomenal game.
I don't think they need to reinvent the wheel yet. I think Treyarch needs to reinvent the wheel on their next one, because all the stuff you're saying is that, yeah, it works, so don't fuck around with it, right? It works, so don't mess with it. But that's the exact same mentality they went into Guitar Hero with, and that's what we were kind of talking about earlier, is if they serialize this thing, people are just going to be like, yeah, okay, it's a new whatever. You added a sliding mechanic now.
No, well, it's awesome. It's like getting a blowjob. It's like, God, this blowjob feels amazing. I love the way you give me a blowjob. Hey, you tweaked it up because you have a fucking breath mint in there. That's nice and that's refreshing. I'm not asking you to fucking like try and give me a blowjob with like the side of your cheek or fucking bite my dick or, you know, give me a whole new experience. Yeah. Just stick with what works. If you want to fucking pop a Jelly Rancher in there, let's try that shit out. Just see what happens. But you don't got to reinvent the wheel. Just, you know, lips to dick, let's let it go. I think that's...
But to that point, did you buy the last Guitar Hero?
No, I never buy Guitar Hero. I never liked Guitar Hero. I buy the Rock Bands, and I will be buying Rock Band 3.
But it was
I don't
the same
like I never like Guitar. I never like Guitar Hero because in Rock Band 3, I know it sounds silly, but it seems like the chords and stuff that are coming down the screen, it's like you have more warning with Rock Band. And I actually like the Rock Band playlist better. So I've always bought Rock Band. I played Guitar Hero when it very first came out, and since then it's been nothing but Rock Band.
But Guitar Hero comes out every year, and they don't change the mechanic because the mechanics, simply, the mechanic works, right?
Yeah, I mean, but even them, I mean, they even went from year to year, and they added that whole when you pause the game, you pause it, and it gives you the countdown to come back into it. I mean,
exactly.
The mechanics, for the most part, works, but, you know, it's like, hey, okay, again, going back to the blowjob analogy, you're getting a blowjob, now she's getting her braces removed. You know, it's just you ain't got to worry about shit getting maybe snagged a little bit. It's just it's one less thing to worry about. That's all they're doing. They're taking something that's amazing, and they're just anything that you might have worried about, or just they're just taking that away from you, and it's nice.
Farva, how many 13-year-olds are you mouth raping these days?
Oh, I'm such a dirty boy.
Anyways, I agree. This game is absolutely worth the price of admission. Where I don't agree with you is I think they need to come up with a revolutionary new multiplayer system. I don't know what that is. You don't know what that is, but that's not our job.
If you want a revolutionary multiplayer, buy Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Great. And I will.
That is a multiplayer unlike any other multiplayer.
I think they need a revolution in the sense that Call of Duty 4 was a revolution to the series. In the next one from Treyarch. Maybe not even next year, but in the next couple of years. They need to come up with something, because there's only so much you can just... It feels like they have just jammed so much crazy fucking shit into this game that you can't be anything but satisfied with it, right? You can't be anything but happy with this incredible amount of content they've given you.
Agreed.
But it's all based around the same system that they've been running for the past 3 years. And I think they need to change that up to make it revolutionary again and make it relevant to someone who's looking for something like that, like me, for example. I would be looking for something that would be revolutionary and really change the game in a way that Modern Warfare 2, in a way that Modern Warfare, the original Call of Duty 4, changed the game for the Call of Duty series.
You are such a picky bastard. I swear to God, I am mailing the Fisherwoman some Altoids.
Sweet, thanks. So I didn't get a chance to play any zombie mode, but you did.
I did.
So quick impressions on zombie mode.
It's like the old zombie mode. I pretty much didn't play. I sold my World at War fairly soon. I mean, within 6 months of having it, when they started releasing more downloads, they've got something called Hellhounds. I guess that was originally that was like one of the DLCs. Once you hit level 5 in the zombie mode, these fucking dogs that are on fire come out of nowhere, and it's zombies start they don't just come through the doorways, but they start like these spider looking like really thin waif looking zombies come crawling down the walls and shit. I mean, they even took that and really added some shit to it. It's hard, it's creepy. We were playing with three. I was a party of four. We were pretty good at it. I mean, we were really working at it. And the highest level we got to was 8, I think. Wow. I mean, it's fucking hard as shit. But it's a lot of fun. So if you like the zombie mode from World at War, you'll love the zombie mode here.
Which level did you play?
The very first one that's open to you.
Okay.
Like, as you started, that very first one's the only one I played.
I think you need to play through the campaign. I know it was in World at War, there was a certain point where they released a title update that unlocked every zombie mode map.
Yep.
Whether you had completed the campaign or not. For now, you need to complete the campaign to unlock a really, from what I hear, a really, really cool zombie mode map. Have you heard anything about that, Farva?
No.
If you get into the campaign at about the third level or so, the third mission, you take a little tour through the Pentagon.
Okay.
The unlockable zombie mode map is in the Pentagon, and you play as world leaders, various world leaders.
Okay.
Like Bobby Kennedy, with some select Bobby Kennedy one-liners. And I think Fidel Castro's in there. So one of your players will be playing as Fidel Castro.
Nice.
It's kind of a fun little kitschy mode that you can do if you unlock by completing the entire game. It's kind of a cool thing. I think that'll probably be, as long as it's designed well. I haven't played it yet because I haven't completed the campaign yet. As long as it's designed well, I think that'll probably be the most fun zombie mode. I mean, come on. You're defending the Pentagon from a zombie outbreak.
Yeah.
No, what sounds more fun than that?
Yeah, it sounds good. I'm enjoying it so far, but we've been talking about this way too fucking long.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so that's going to do it for Care Package. I think the point is that Black Ops is a value at $60 for everything that you're getting with it. I mean, single player alone, nope. Zombie mode alone, nope. Multiplayer alone, maybe. But when you put all those things together, along with all the little extras they put in there, like the title screen thing that I told you about earlier in the show,
yeah,
it's a game that would be worth $110 to $120 to me.
Yeah,
for the amount of time that I'm going to pour into it, as opposed to other games, absolutely. If you're into Call of Duty type shooters, this is 100% worth it, and you probably already bought it because it seems like everybody on my friends list did.
Yeah, so, oh yeah. I got on, it's like for the longest time, I usually get online. I only have 65 friends on my friend list. I'm pretty picky about who I put on there. And I usually get on, I have like maybe 7 to 8 guys at most. Recently I got on, I had like 18, 19, 20 people on, and like all but 2 or 3 are playing, you know, Call of Duty, so... It is the game to get right now.
It's the release of the year. It always is. And hopefully they change things up like I was talking about. Because if they don't, eventually it won't be the game of the year. Some other first person shooter will come along and revolutionize things. And for Activision's sake, they better hope it's some Call of Duty game that does that.
Yep.
But it's not this one. But this one. This one is absolutely the release that you should get. So that's going to do it for Care Package, an extended, super long Care Package. And we're going to go on to Fresh Catch. All right, this is Fish's Fresh Catch, and I have a couple of things for you because the first one is probably the Fresh Catch of the month, but it is highly segmented. If you have an iPhone, the Fresh Catch is that Capcom has released Capcom Arcade for free. And what it does is it is an app that runs on your phone that you can download from the App Store. That makes the ports of Capcom's arcade library available to you, and you can buy it in the same way that you if you got into Microsoft Xbox's the Game Room,
yeah,
which was the old Atari games. you can buy tokens to play the arcade games of Capcom of Capcom's arcade games, and it's 10 tokens for $1, or purchase the games itself for $3. But the trick here is, and the reason it's on the Frisk Catch, is that you get three free plays for any arcade game that they have in the app, available in their app for free each day.
Yep, every 24 hours.
Every 24 hours you get that for free. And when you can play games like Street Fighter II, Ghouls and Ghosts, 1942, and Commando, and then future releases, they update, and they'll all be in there.
Yeah, and I rarely do I look at the show notes, but I just happened to glance at them earlier this week. I've downloaded this. I've been playing the shit out of the Street Fighter II, and it is really a lot of fun. It's fairly intuitive for playing on the iPhone. I'm getting really pretty good at it.
Yeah, there's been good things said about Street Fighter 4 on the iPhone too, but I think the deal is that you can get this app for free, and then you get three free plays of any one of these games that you want for free each day.
Yeah, every 24 hours. And if you're good, like I can go, you know, I can play Street Fighter for a half an hour.
Yeah,
you know, in one turn, and that's a good. I mean, that's a good, you know, half of the DMV line.
I mean, I don't take three shits a day.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know, free gaming, right? Perfect for iPhone users. Now, that's for iPhone users. The other deal that I have for you guys is the Amazon Double Dip. That's their official name of it, which seems interesting. Now, last week, I brought to you a deal where they had a buy two and get one free sale on all kinds of games, and it was a lot of newer, more modern games. Which was pretty surprising for
what they were offering.
So this week what they're offering though is that if you buy two of the games off their list, you can get you save $10 up front, and then you get a $30 credit. And it looks like, at first glance, the list is basically the same as it was last week. So the difference is here, Farba, that let's say last week you went into it and you looked at it and you said, I don't see three games that I want. You know, I see two games that I want, but I can't find that third one that I want for free. Well, this one, if you buy two, you get all the benefits. You get to save $10 right up front, and then you get a $30 credit to your Amazon account that you can buy another game with in the future. Portal 2, you know, when it comes out next year.
Yeah.
Whatever. If you didn't take advantage of last week's game deal because you didn't see three that you wanted but you saw two, this is the one to take advantage of. Basically, all those games from that list from last week are on this week's list too. Fallout New Vegas, NBA 2K11, Rock Band 3, GoldenEye, Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2, StarCraft 2, Red Dead's on there, Medal of Honor. It's all the games that you would want on a list like this, except for you get $10 back immediately, and then you get a $30 credit.
I like it.
Yeah, so pretty good deals, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, for all, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't segmenting just the iPhone people and getting them a deal.
Yeah.
So that's
fuck you, Android users. Fuck you. Fuck you, DJ.
I'm 100%. I will be the first to admit I'm 100% unaware of any deals in the Android market. So DJ's going to have to email me with deals, and then maybe we'll put them on the show.
Maybe. Oh, so by the way, quick, DJ, thank you for sending. He's sending me. He's been down in Peru for a while, and he's sending me some of that Pisco stuff.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
So did you? Oh. I was supposed to give you a message like 2 days ago to email him your address so he could send you some too.
Oh, sweet. Okay, I will do that. Yeah. Thank you for letting me know.
You should definitely do that. Also, I got my very first friend request on Xbox Live from someone saying, "Hey, I'm a fan of the show, and I put on my friends list." And it's the Black Cat something or other. I don't know what your name is, and I'm not looking at my friends list right now. I will try to remember to look it up and give you a proper shout-out next week. I actually added him a couple of weeks ago, And then, like, last week when I was playing the Conviction, the what was it, the Splinter Cell Conviction, he's like, hey, you want to play the multiplayer? And I'm like, dude, maybe later. I want to, but I want to finish this. You know, I rented the game. I want to beat the single player before I get done. And then I didn't end up playing with him, and I feel like I kind of screwed him there. I told him I would, and I didn't. So I love you. I'm sorry. I will try and make it up to you in some way, shape, and or form. In the meantime, we're glad to have you as a listener. Thank you so much for listening. You're welcome on my friends list anytime, and hopefully we'll actually get to game together sometime soon.
Hell yeah. And speaking of gaming together, that's going to do a fresh catch. We're going to go on to Gamer Night announcements.
Hey, I invited to join in a talking ship gaming.
All right, Gamer Night announcements. The first thing we do on Gamer Night announcements is talk about last week's Gamer Nights. Farber, you didn't have one, but I had a bad movie, Drinky Drinky.
How did that go?
Oh, it went so good. Oh my God, it was so good to get back into bad movie, Drinky Drinky, Farber. We had a couple of movies. We watched two movies. We watched the first one was, I can't even remember. The second one was a whole lot more fun. It was Mega Piranha.
Nice.
The first one was Survival of the Dead, which was the last Rodriguez zombie movie.
Which, according to the Fisherwoman, has a guy in there that looks just like me.
Yeah, that's right. There's a guy in there that looked just like you. He was all fucked up looking.
I know. Fucking zombie number four looks just like Farva.
That one was messed up. The idea of Survival of the Dead was that there were these two Irish families that lived on this island that was sort of set aside from the zombie apocalypse. They kind of had the island under control. There were zombies there, but they had them all under control.
Uh-huh.
And one of the families felt like these zombies can be taught to live in society, and the other one felt like, no, they should all be killed. So at the beginning of the beginning of the movie, the one who feels like they should all be civilized sort of won the day and exiled the one that felt like they should all be killed. And the movie is really all about these other people and their journey to the island. This really fucked up movie where they break all the zombie rules. In the end, the zombies start eating other animals and not humans, which is like rule number one.
Yeah.
And the last scene of the movie is the two, well, are two zombies on a hill pointing guns at each other. It's like, you know,
that's retarded.
No, that's not it. The second movie we watched was Mega Piranha. It was a hell of a lot of fun. We had Nerves and Dave and me and the Fisherwoman were in there, and we enjoyed the holy hell out of Mega Piranha. It was a lot of fun to watch, and a lot of fun to drink too. It was a crazy ass movie where Tiffany, the pop star, had a starring role.
Nice.
Yeah, so that put it right at the top of the list for us. And I think that might have been the reason that we turned it on in the first place to watch it, because that just guaranteed the bad movie drinky drinkiness of it. But it was a movie about monsters. You know, monsters and zombies seem to sort of rule the day with bad movie drinky drinkies.
Agreed.
Right? Shitty movies of monsters and zombies are a really good bad movie drinky drinky fare.
Yeah.
So, with that said, we'll be doing another one on Saturday. I'll put up a post in the forums. You guys can sign up. I know everybody enjoys the Bad Movie Drinky Drinky. Cam Dog, Colby, you guys are staples of the Bad Movie Drinky Drinky. You guys couldn't make it this time. Hopefully, you can make it this next time.
I have my Xbox. I will be here this time.
Nice. All right. Farva will be there. We're gonna have a big raucous fucking party, and we're gonna watch a movie, maybe two. And have a good time. Farva, are you going to be having any gamer nights this week?
Well, I'd love to, but since I have mine on Thursdays and we're recording, and it's now technically Friday morning, no.
Right. So no gamer night Friday then after this show goes up?
No. Okay. No, I have to get up, and I literally have to be up in 2.5 hours to go to work.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else for the show, man. I think that just about does it for me. Yeah, this one's an extra long edition because we took a hell of a lot of time talking about Call of Duty.
Yeah, we did.
But yeah, guys, thanks for listening. Sorry, it's coming out late. It's on both of us because there's different things that came up for both of us that caused us to come out late. But hopefully you enjoyed this episode of the Game Lounge over the weekend and have a nice relaxing time listening to it. So that's all I've got, man.
I don't have anything else either. So thanks for showing up. Get the fuck out.